Well, good morning, everyone. Trust everyone is doing fine. You're looking good, so if you're not doing fine, you're faking it real good. All right. Folks, isn't God good? Did you ever notice how good he really is? You know, he's not just talk. It's not just a myth out there that we serve God and right now he's not touching lives or doing much in our lives. Maybe we feel like we're sick or we got this issue or that issue. You know, it's kind of like the song we just sang. How do you see God? How do you see him? Do you see him as one who loves you, cares for you, who will do everything for you? You know, is he really on the throne of your life? Have you put him there? See, we have to put him there. So it's all in how we see. How do we see what we learn here and as a preaching God? How do we take all of that? Is it just words? Is going to church on a Sunday morning, is it just something we do? It's a good thing. We get to see everybody and visit, and that is important. But really, you know, I think we got to get serious, really serious about how we see God and how we worship him and who he is in our lives. Amen? I want to talk about a guy in the Bible this morning that he's seen Jesus special, but he didn't know how special. So he had a lot of questions. So if you'll turn with me to John chapter 3, I'm going to try to look at verses 1 through 8. Talking about Nicodemus as he went to Jesus. This was, in verse 1, it says this. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. You know, he wanted to be very private. You know how the Pharisees felt about Jesus. But at least he stepped out, even though it was private, he still stepped out. He wanted to know some more. And so by night, he went to Jesus. And he said this. He said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Will you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for this time. And Lord, may we truly see and understand who you really are in our lives. And Lord, that we would bow down to what you want to do in them. That we would learn to trust you and receive from you. And Lord, that we would walk our lives and everything that you've asked us to do to bring you glory and honor. Father, our lives now, it should be all about you, not about us. Although you take good care of us and our families. But Father, may we live our lives that it would be all about you. That you be glorified and lifted up and honored, even by those that don't really know you. But Lord, help us to know you in a special way as you know us. Thank you so much for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. So Nicodemus came to Jesus quietly at night, wanted to really see where he was. He wanted to understand Jesus a whole lot better. But, you know, as he asked the Lord, asked Jesus some different things here coming to him, Jesus answered and said then to him, he said, most assuredly I say to you, so that's really positive. He said, this is what I'm saying. This is what I mean. And this is how it is. So he said it very strongly to him. Unless one is born again, that is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And folks, that's where a lot of it is, that a lot of people, they're not seeing what God's doing. They don't see the potential in all that they hear and the potential in what the word says. You know, it's like a good thing. We hope and we pray, and then we don't really, most of the time, expect it to happen. And that's how we kind of go through life. But I don't think that's how God means it and how God wants it to be with us. Amen? Folks, when I pray or if I say I'm going to do something for someone, I'm going to do my best to do it. If I said it, I'm going to fulfill it if I can, if at all possible. And I would do everything I can to make that happen. So in other words, I'm going to make an effort. I said it, and my word is my word. And that's the way it is with God. He gives us his word. We read about it. We preach about it. We talk about it. And he means what he says. And a lot of times, we're not seeing it come to fruition. We're not seeing it happen. But I want to tell you now, right up front, that it's not his fault. You know what I mean? It's really us. If you pray to God and you're asking for something and it's according to his word, and it's really not happening for you, don't blame God. You need to look at yourself. And I do that often. I say, God, what's wrong with me? Am I not believing? What's going on? Maybe it's not time yet, Lord. I don't know. But I want to make sure that, Lord, I get right with you, so that you can fulfill your purpose and your word in my life. God wants us healed. He wants us whole. He wants us blessed. You know, we're blessed, we're healed, and we're whole, and the world looks at us as, man, you're doing so good. How is that? And you say, man, it's Jesus. And then they're thinking, well, how can I get that too? Amen? So you make the world hungry. You make them jealous. So, man, I got to get serving God. You know so-and-so? God is blessing them. This was going on in their life, and now it's all gone. It's healed, and it's changed, and they're blessed. And then they come and say, hey, what's going on in your life? Well, you see, Nicodemus was seeing all of this. When Jesus was going around healing the people, raising the dead, doing all of these wonderful things, which we should be doing, that he wants to do through us now. But it's kind of like, what's the disconnect? What's the problem? Have you ever wondered that? I always wonder, God, why is the church so weak? Why are not these things happening in our lives? You did it. The disciples did it. So what's our issue? What's our problem? Let's continue here. So I want you to know here, this is how Jesus is. Nicodemus came seeking knowledge. Folks, knowledge is not the answer. It helps, but it's not the answer. It's really relationship. You see, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He heard what all the other Pharisees were saying and what they were thinking. But he had seen all that Jesus was doing. And so he's saying, wait a minute. These guys can't be right. Because Jesus couldn't do all these things if God wasn't with him. So he wanted to see what it was all about. So he was trying to gain some understanding, some knowledge there, which is good. But you know, Jesus always goes the extra mile with us. Jesus not only was giving him some understanding and knowledge, but he was offering him life. Amen? Folks, people start asking about Jesus and they don't know him, they will soon know him. Amen? All we got to do is make that effort. Lord, I want to know more about you. I want to know you. I don't understand this, Lord. And I want to tell you, the Lord will just open it up for you. Look at verses 4 and 5 now. So Nicodemus said to him, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Now, what's he saying there? The water and the Spirit. Some people take that as, well, you got to be baptized. But see, it's a little more than that. You see, aren't we washed by the purity of the Word? We're washed by the Word, and then we're filled by the Spirit when we've received salvation. And that changes everything. See, first you got to know some of the Word, because the Word never fails, and we can stand upon it because God said it. And he said it will not return void, but it will accomplish what it's sent forth to do. So we get a little bit of the Word when people hear that God really loves me. We hear that and it's like, wow, I want that. And that God cares so much for me. And that Jesus died on the cross just for my sins so I can be saved and be with him. And not only that, he went to the grave. He died and then was resurrected anew, again to life. And you see, that's what happens to me now. And that's what the Lord shows. Say, Jesus died for me, but now he's alive. So what I need to do is accept Jesus and die to myself so that I too can live. So we got to get the Word in there. We got to be born of the water and born of the Spirit, or we just can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, there are so many people that feel today that there's many ways to heaven. I think Jesus said this. He said, I'm the way. Me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And he says, I'm the life. So I can be your truth and your life, but you got to do it through me. You're not going to do it by your goodness or what you think or feel. What others may have said, it won't work. It's got to be through me. See, he's the one that suffered and died for us. And we're not going to do it for him to try to earn our way into heaven. It doesn't work that way. It's all Jesus or it's nothing. So people need to understand that. You know, in the Spirit, when it talks about the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit is neat how he moves and how he operates. And I want to say this to us this morning, that if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. You know, I used to believe that you would get saved, you get Jesus, and then later on you had to get the Holy Spirit. And so like there's another act that we want to do in there. But in that next act, I've seen that in some churches that a lot of people do not like or agree with. And they're like called full gospel church. Well, let me tell you, we're all pretty well full gospel. But they're in the Pentecostal, good people though. great people. There's nothing wrong with them, except they don't understand, like many of us don't understand, that we receive the Holy Spirit when we're saved. I don't know how you're believing right now, but I'm going to show you some scriptures here in a minute of what this is all about. Now, you know, when the day of Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says this. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, this is after they had received the Holy Spirit, spoke and heard people speaking in tongues in their own language. And they were all amazed. And they said to themselves, whatever could this mean? Because they knew that these were not educated men. They were Galileans. I don't know what that was. Hill people, like hill people from Tennessee. I don't know what they were saying, but they had to have been a little bit different, right? And so here you had people that didn't understand. They didn't know what it was all about. But then you had others who mocked them. Oh, well, you tongue-talking fools, you know, and you know, and then they went on to say, well, they're just full of new wine. So in other words, they're drunk and foolish. And so that's how they were seeing them. But you know, they were partially right. They were. Made fun of them. Full of new wine. Now let me tell you a little bit about the new wine. The new wine here represents the Holy Spirit, and the wineskin represents us. Okay? The new wine represents the Holy Spirit. Now look at Luke chapter 5, verse 37 through 39. You might want to write some of this down because you might want to go over it. I want you to be firm in what you believe and how you believe. And it says this, Luke 5, 37 through 39. And it says, and no one puts new wine into an old wineskin. Folks, a lot of people come to church and they think, well, I'll get filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're the same as what they've always been. Just trying harder to be good. But it won't work. Or else the new wine, see, you don't put it in new wine in old wineskins. Anybody here make wine? You're not admitting it. I didn't ask you if you drink it. I'm just, do you, okay, one honest man here. He says, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spoiled, and the wineskin will be ruined. Folks, that's God looking after us. He's trying to work in our lives. He's trying to change us. And he can't give us all that he wants to give us because it can destroy us. God is so powerful, folks. I think most of us don't realize that. He's so powerful. He's so awesome. He speaks and it is. Let there be light and there was light. That's how his word works. He just speaks it into existence. So it can be ruined. It says, but new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both then are preserved. And no one having drunk, this is something that we need to look at and understand. It says, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires the new, for he says the old is better. See, now, if you was a wine drinker, you go someplace to get wine, the older it is, usually the better it is. And so you will pay a premium for old wine. Right? So y'all been buying? No, I'm kidding. Set you up on that one, right? But you know, in the church, that's the way it is. It's like, well, wait a minute. Why are you talking about the Holy Spirit? I like it the way it was. You know, you want to pray for healing and do all, I appreciate that, but let's go back to the old way, the way it used to be. See, people don't like change, most people. They're afraid of change because they don't understand it. They've not seen it really work in their lives. They've not really been able to surrender to it. But the Lord is wanting to take us to a different place. And so that's why we need to understand what is he actually talking about? What is the Lord really wanting to do in our lives and in the church? He doesn't want our church to be filled with new wine and all of a sudden everybody goes wild and then pretty soon the church splits, breaks up, and closes down. That's not what he wants. And that's not what any of us want. So don't be afraid of change, though. We got to learn to trust God in everything. Pray about it, and we need to understand it. And that's why I'm trying to give you scriptures, so you can kind of walk with me through that and understand. Folks, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit a lot of years, and I've seen the Holy Spirit work. I can remember in Honduras, and you've heard me, most of you anyway, have heard me say it before, where they had me preaching for a whole week, and I preached on the Holy Spirit. And I went to a high place where they had all their water drums for the city, where it would run downhill and they would get their water pressure that way. And so I went way up there on the hill, on the mountain, and I would spend time praying to the Lord because I had a service that night. These people were walking, a lot of them were walking 10 miles to go to church. A lot of them were living in cardboard boxes. Most of the ladies washed their hair in the river before they could come because they worked a hard, long day. And so they came to service and they were expecting something. And so I pray, I said, God, we got to deliver. I need to be right with you to where you can work through me, that you could touch lives and hearts and change them. God, that's why you brought me here, I believe. And then the Lord spoke to me. Here, I'm trying to be righteous. The Lord speaks to me and he says, Jim, you get in my way. I'm like, great. I'm praying to get closer to God so he'll use me. And he's telling me I'm in his way. Kind of shocked me, but I didn't understand it. But you know, I understood it later. That's why God speaks things to you, and you may hear things in messages that somebody said, and you're like, oh, right. You don't understand it now, but you may later. And I understood it to be this, that sometimes I would hear things from God, and he would tell me to do some things, and I wouldn't do it because I didn't think it was from God. Do you ever question God? Well, that's what I did. And God says, that is what puts you in my way. Believe my word. Trust me. And realize that I'll work through your life, but you got to trust me. So I went to service that night. And I preached in the Holy Spirit again. Nothing was happening the other three nights or so, four nights. People came up for healing. We prayed for them. Nothing happened. But that night was different. I was determined to stay out of God's way. I stood back. Invitation, here's everybody ran to the front. Most everybody was up to the front. And I just stood to the side. I just crossed my arms and said, God, I'm staying out of your way. I'm not getting in your way. You ever do that? Because I was determined, Lord, I'm not going to get in your way. I want you to work. Well, then he spoke to me and he says, Jim, go hug the drummer. I'm like, okay, I'm just, whatever you tell me, I'm going to do. So the drummer was standing up and I went over and I hugged him. He hugged me back and I started to let go of the embrace. And he did as well. And the Lord said, not yet. So I hugged him again and did that for a couple of minutes. And then I thought, all right, this has got to be good enough. So I started to let go. And the Lord said, not yet. And so I don't know how long we hugged, several minutes. And then finally, as I was hugging, I made up my mind, I'm not letting go this time until the Lord tells me. So I just held on. And the singing was going on and all of that. And the drummer should have been drumming, but he wasn't, because we were hugging. And all of a sudden, he started to tremble. He just started to tremble. I said, uh-oh, what's going on here? Not this weird Pentecostal stuff. I said, God, I'm trusting you. And then the Lord says, now, let go. I let go. And he started trembling so bad that he had to lean on the drum stand to stand up, because he's like that. And I'm like, God, I'm not a crazy person in the Holy Spirit here, you know, like I've seen other people be. And then the Lord took me to different areas. One little girl she was a teenager. She was standing up in the front row, tears just flowing. And she was holding her hands up, and I seen her just praising God. And then all of a sudden, her facial expression changed, and she let her hands down to her side. She turned around and went and sat down. And God said, call her up. So I called her up. And the Lord told me that she was disappointed in him. How many have ever been disappointed in the Lord? Folks, we pray. We need a miracle. And we pray and nothing happens. And that's the way she was. And so when she came up, I said, you're disappointed in the Lord, aren't you? And all of a sudden she cowered like, she was like, how did you know? I said, but the Lord wants to touch you tonight. And all I did, reached out and I touched her on the shoulder. And she started like in Acts when the Spirit of God fell, the Holy Spirit came. She started speaking in tongues. Of course, she was Spanish, and I didn't understand Spanish, but it was tongues. And she's just praising God. She's just praising God, and people gathered around her, and they're praying for her. The Spirit now is starting to move in the whole service. People are standing up, and the Lord told me then, because I went back to the side, and I'm like, I'm not doing anything. God, I'm out of your way. And then he says, go down and just touch people on the shoulder. And so I went down behind them. There were rows of them. And I just simply said this, be healed, be healed, be healed. I walked down, came back, be healed. It only took a few minutes. And I don't know what happened. I just did what God said. Well, the next day, the pastor called me because I was supposed to preach again that night. And he said this to me. He said, Jim, I don't know what to do. He said, these people have contacted me and they want to give testimonies tonight. And I said, that's a problem? And I said, let them have a whole service. I don't care. Let them. Yeah, I want to hear what God did. Now that I'm staying out of his way. Amen. Folks, we get in God's way. He wants to do so much more in our lives, but we tend to get in his way. And so they started sharing all that God did for them that night. How he touched them, a lot of them, how he healed them. One lady said, I've been to several doctors and what I had was incurable. And she wasn't that old. She's in her 40s maybe. And she said, but God healed me that night. She said, somebody just went by and touched my shoulder and bang. The healing happened that quick. Doesn't the word say, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? We don't have to do these long prayers. It's okay if you do it, I guess, but we don't have to. It just says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So anyway, the Spirit moves us. And he moves as he chooses. You never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do next or how he wants to move in somebody's life. But let me just share with you. You know, I said when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. Well, let's look at some of the work that God does. Ezekiel 36:25. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 and 27. This is the Amplified. It says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you." Here's the water and the Spirit, the cleansing by the word. He says, "I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your uncleanness and from all your idols." Folks, we've got a lot of idols, and God has got to cleanse us from our idols. My idol was farming. And we had to give up the farm so we could heed the call. And then he brought us to Michigan from Missouri. You got to get rid of the idols. Sometimes the idols get in our way. That's what God said. You told me, he said, "You get in my way." Sometimes we let idols get in our way. And it says, "Moreover, I will give you a," listen, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit," listen, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my ordinances and do them." The Lord washes us with his word, cleanses us, takes away our sins, gives us hope and direction. And then he gives us a new heart. Folks, when you were saved, let me ask you, did a lot of your desires change? Did you really enjoy being with the bad friends you hung around with before? Did you still want to do the shady things that you did before? It all changed, didn't it? See, that wasn't you. That was God. He cleansed you, and then he gave you a new heart so he could put that new wine in you, the Holy Spirit. And that's what changes our lives. It's no longer us that will do that. It's God that will do it through us. And then he gives us his Holy Spirit. And then he says, "When I do all of this, it will cause you to walk in my statutes. You'll want to serve me. You'll want to do what's right. You'll feel bad when you mess up in trying to serve me." And a lot of us just think that was us. "Well, now that I'm saved, I really got to serve God." Well, you're right. But you got to realize that was God moving in your life. Does this make sense to you? I hope so, because it's important. I got a few. Let me give you a couple scriptures. Acts 19:1-7. That's where the Apostle Paul met these 12 guys. And as he was talking to them, they were religious. And he talked to them and he says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit when you were saved?" And they said, "We haven't so much as heard about the Holy Spirit." And then Paul said this, he says, "Then what baptism were you baptized under?" And they said, John the Baptist. Paul said, "Well, he baptized unto repentance. He was a forerunner for Jesus Christ, who came to forgive us our sins and to give us eternal life." And see, before that, they hadn't even heard of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, as he shared Jesus with them, then he rebaptized them in the name of Jesus. Then he laid hands on them, and he spoke. They spoke in tongues then. So you know what happened? They received the Holy Spirit when they were saved, but when Paul prayed for them, he activated the gifts that the Holy Spirit had for them. And a lot of people are threatened by that, and it's like, man alive, I want to be able to pray for people so they're healed. I want God to be able to make a difference for people through my life. So I try hard to always surrender, to be obedient. How about when in Acts 8, the Samaritans received salvation? Peter and John went down to pray for them. That's Acts 8, 14 through 17. See, they had been saved, but they haven't. And like we read before, when you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. Scripture points that out. So Peter and John went to Samaria and they laid hands on them to activate the gifts. They didn't go down to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. I know Scripture says that, but it's translated wrong. When you go to the original manuscripts, it doesn't say it that way. So it was translated wrong. There was a reason, I guess, why they didn't translate it like it was supposed to be. But if you look at the original Greek, it says different. So it's the activation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. How do we really recognize that? How about Simon that lived there, who was a sorcerer? He liked people to give him honor, and before salvation came to everyone, he was the main guy. Everybody looked up to him because he did all these tricks and different things for the people. So they looked up to him. Well, he lost all of that. But when he seen the activation happen in people, where they started prophesying and praying and speaking in tongues and God moving in special ways, see, it didn't happen just immediately. He watched them. And he's saying, wow, these people have really come alive. And then he asked Peter and them, he said, hey, I'll pay you for that gift if you give it to me. See, that's why he wanted it. So now pride rose up in him and he said, now I can be special again. I can be the only one here that can activate the gift. And Peter said, you're in trouble, buddy. God is not going to give you that. And all kinds of bad things were going to happen because of his attitude. And then Simon said, oh, please pray for me that these things don't happen to me. I hope you guys are with me. I'm not maybe I sound like a weirdo sometimes, but I want to tell you, I actually believe what I preach. And I walk in it as best I can. And I'm not afraid to share it. Because I love God's word and I know it's real. And it'll change your life as it changed mine. So you need to get in the word and read it and start understanding it. And seeing God high and lifted up. And then place him on your throne of your life, so that he can work through you. Folks, there's a lot of us that need to be healed in here. There's a lot of us who won't get our healing, may die from it. But see, we've got to care enough for each other that we'll submit to God. Let God be God in our lives. We need to learn to stay out of our way, but we've got to learn who God really is. And that his word is true. Amen. Y'all with me? Do you understand? I'm not here to confuse you or to beat you up. That's not my purpose. God loves you guys. He's not going to let me beat you up. That's not what I'm here for. What I'm here for is to teach, to share, to minister, to show God's love to you, and that it can be different. It doesn't have to be the same. In fact, God doesn't want it to be the same. We're not losers. God is so good. I've got so much more to share. We'll just have to stop there. My prayers, I didn't share too much with you. But anyway, I guess if I have, you might have to go to prayer and let God help you out. Amen? Be like Nicodemus and go to the Lord and let him talk to you and share with you. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this time and thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you're willing to share all of this, your power, your strength, your abilities, your love, and your kingdom work with us. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I ask that you would use us now in a mighty way. Lord, that we would learn to start expecting the word to work. Because a word does work, and it will not return void if we can believe and stay out of your way. Oh, Lord, be blessed in all that we do, and we will be blessed as you work through us to touch lives. Thank you, Father, and we give you honor for that. In Jesus' name, amen.